Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. Now, throughout this entire week, we've been talking about the story of the woman at the well, or the Samaritan woman, a story that, you know, we've said each day is a story that we know, a story that we hear a lot. Maybe you've heard a million different talks on it and a million different homilies. It's one of those classic stories in the scriptures. But throughout the week, we've kind of been drawing out different themes. And, you know, we started with talking about God basically orchestrated this whole encounter with the woman, right? Jesus goes out of his way on a whole different roadmap to meet this woman. And we discussed how that's God's roadmap, right? That it was the Father's will from before the beginning of time that Jesus would encounter this woman. So he goes to find her, just like he goes to find you and he goes to find me. And then we talked about this really cool kind of connection to the Old Testament, that in the past, there was like this consistent practice of people meeting at wells, which it just kind of sounds funny to say because we don't really, you know, have wells anymore. We don't really meet there. But Jacob met Rachel there and Zipporah and Moses met there. And how when John talks about this meeting happening at Jacob's well, it would have been very significant for the Jews. And this meaning of really the meeting at the wells culminated ultimately in marriage. Maybe some of you are listening now and you're like, okay, I'm going to go wait by a well every day to see if I can find my spouse, because if this process culminates in marriage, that's where I need to go find a spouse. But this practice of going to a well and then these meetings historically culminating in marriage, Jacob marrying Rachel, Moses marrying Zipporah, and how Jesus is doing that with the woman. He's bringing together this encounter where God will come and marry his people in the ultimate consummation and the ultimate marriage feast of the Lamb. And then we really talked about Jesus' heart for this woman, how he sees her, he knows her, and that's really his heart for us. And so I want to talk about what this encounter with Jesus does to the woman and what that means for the rest of Samaria and what that means for the rest of the world and what really happens to her, because something significant happens to her in this encounter. And so I want to encourage you, that was just a brief recap of what we talked about this week. I want to encourage you to go back and listen to those episodes because I think it sets up really nicely the thread that the Holy Spirit is bringing throughout this entire week. So let's take a minute to pray, and then we're going to talk about kind of the end parts of this passage today and tomorrow. So if you'll join me in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we see in this text that you transformed the Samaritan woman, that something happened to her when she encountered you, that she went away different than when she came. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to work in us. The power of transformation may work in our lives, may work in our hearts and our minds, that we can be different. Jesus, we want to be different from you seeing us, from you encountering us. We want to be different. Make us different. Transform us by the power of your Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I'm not going to read the whole passage that we've been reading, but I'm going to pick up kind of at the end here. And so I'm going to pick up in verse 25, and you can join me if you have your Bibles, John 4, 25. The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. And when he comes, he will show us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But none said, "What do you wish?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the city and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the city and were coming to him. And it skips forward and says, many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." And this is what I want to focus on, because there's this thing that happens in these set of paragraphs. The woman begins and she comes and she says, you know, why are you talking to me? What are you doing here? How can I give you a drink? I'm a Samaritan woman. She's bogged down with her own brokenness, her own life choices. She says, I know that the Messiah is coming and I've heard of him, but I'm here and I'm coming to this place to drink water. And it's not just this, like, as we said, we're not just talking about physical water. Yes, she was actually getting physical water, but it's this deeper thing of this woman. It's revealed that she's thirsting for something. And she even says to Jesus, as we talked about, give me this water so I don't have to keep coming back to the same place that I've been coming to for satisfaction. That's deep, right? That happens in each and every one of us. We go to other things that aren't God. And this is what's happening. This need is revealed in this woman from her own brokenness. And Jesus, like we talked about yesterday, sees her. He not only tells her what she does, but he sees who she is. And in his gaze, in this encounter, in this calling out of who she is and the way she's lived her life and this tenderness, this does something to her. And I love this, and just this one line, friends, has been so transformative for me. And this has been something I've been meditating on these past couple of days, right? We focus on she goes out to Samaria and gives this witness, gives this testimony, which is amazing. It's amazing that she goes out, all right? And we see the woman encounters Jesus and she goes out. But there's one thing, one very quick line that happens in between those two things, in between her encounter and in between her going out. And this is the line in verse 28. So the woman left her water jar. Before she goes into the city, she leaves her jar. Right? Remember, because she's going to the well to find satisfaction. She's going to the well to look for something that will satisfy her thirst. And the jar is the thing that she carried the water with. Or she even says to Jesus, you have nothing. How can you drink? You have nothing to fill your jar with. So this jar represents the instrument that she's using to gather some sense of satisfaction, even if it's a false satisfaction. And when she meets Jesus, when she sees him, when he looks at her, something happens. It's not just like, oh, look, this man is here and he's a sorcerer and he looked into the future and he told me what I did and somehow he knew my past. That's not what it is. He sees her, and in that encounter, she doesn't need to go to the well anymore. And so what does she do? Not only does she go out, but first she leaves her jar. The thing that she was bringing with her, the thing that she was using to get satisfaction. And friends, this is just like us. Those things in our lives that we have, those attachments, those idols that we're carrying around, that we're using to fill ourselves, that those places in our hearts that are still hurt, those places in our hearts that are still anxious, those places that we're still hiding from the Lord. We say, I have to keep this attachment. I have to keep my jar just in case I'm not satisfied. Because deep down, we're scared that that living water won't satisfy us. And so we're still searching for the satisfaction. There's a preacher that I love. She gave this amazing analogy, and she was talking about, she's like, you know, if you go to your parents' house and they have all like that random stuff in storage, or she's like, do you know anybody that keeps random stuff in storage? Like if your mom keeps an old crock pot for like 20 years in the basement and you're like, mom, why do we need this crock pot? We haven't used it in 20 years. Why don't we just throw it away? And the answer is just in case I need it. Just in case I need it. This is what we do with our jars. This is like our jars, our attachments, our idols, those things that we use to soothe ourselves. Going, I know for me a lot, the Lord's convicting me. This is like so much of this for me is even just like using my phone so much, or like going on my phone at night before I go to bed and distracting myself and looking at social media, not just being able to sit and allow my heart to feel what it's feeling. I grab on to my jar, or those old sins that we have, we grab onto them. And Jesus is saying, but I'm living water. And we're like, I know you're living water. Yes. And I'm going to proclaim you're living water, but I need to keep my jar just in case you don't satisfy. Just in case. And it's this lack of trust in who Jesus is. But what happens to the woman, and we see this in every encounter Jesus has with the apostles when they come to follow him, with those he heals, with the blind man, with whoever it is, the reality is they meet him. They meet him, and then they go back into their lives, and they go back and encounter people they've encountered before. And the people that they encounter are like, what happened? Something happened. And I was praying and I was in adoration. And I was reading this and that phrase just kept coming into my mind about the church in the New Testament, about the early church. Everybody that encounters Jesus, something happens to them. And they go away and they're never the same. It's not like this little lifestyle alteration. It's not like Jesus is cool or he's the most intellectual person to follow or this is a really fun, cool thing to do or it makes the most sense or Christian virtue is a really good thing to try on and we want to be good people. No, they meet a man and something happens. And this is where Jesus wants to take his church because I want to be a person. I want to live in a church in which people are transformed. And Jesus is saying to me, he's saying, you're going out into the world. Christians are going out into the world and they're saying, look at this man who told me everything that I ever did, but what we have our heavy jar still on our backs. We never left our jar and we're saying, come see this man who transformed my life. But oh yeah, I still have all my sin. I still have all my attachments here because I'm scared to let go. And the world is looking at us and they're saying, where's the transformation? The Lord is calling us into a deeper place of encounter where his gaze actually transforms us by the fire of his love so that, friends, the first thing we do is leave our jar so that we go out. The woman leaves her jar and she goes out and gives her testimony and it says many believed because of her testimony. Not just because of the words she spoke, but because she was different. She was different. And conversion is an ongoing process, but I have this fear, friends, that in the church and the way that we live our discipleship, that we've just settled so into comfort. That we're like, yes, we're proclaiming that Jesus is living water, but we've got all our jars situated around us just in case we need to go back to the well of comfort. Just in case we need to go back to the well of the world. Just in case we need to go back and watch that one show because it's actually not that bad. Just in case we need to participate in a little gossip just because it makes me feel better about myself. All of these things are soothing and they're ways that we fill ourselves. And Jesus is saying in this hour, just like he says in this word, he says the hour has come. The hour is now that I want to actually transform my people. And God wants to transform you. He wants to transform me in such a way that we actually leave our jars. We shatter our jars because we don't need to carry that water that doesn't satisfy anymore. And so it's not only the word of our testimony, but the power of our lives that I want to be a person. I want to be a church that as we move in our communities, as we walk out into the secular world, and as the world sees us, they don't say like, your witness is a joke. They say, what happened to you? Not just 20 years ago when you first encountered Jesus, not just when you went to that first prayer meeting, not just when your life initially changed, but every single day, friends, to encounter Jesus is this amazing thing where something happens. And I know for me, when I encountered the person of Jesus at 16, something happened to me. And today he wants to encounter me. He wants to encounter you in a fresh way that something happens that would go out into the world and many believe because of our testimony. God bless you.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
In the scripture, Jesus' teaching on the conditions of salvation is consistent, urgent, and pervasive. Friends, I'd like to offer you Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? The booklet unpacks several gospel passages so we can find and stay on the narrow path that leads to eternal life. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. Or visit renewalministries.net/FOE. That's renewalministries.net/FOE.